want to encourage you throughout this week when the enemy or even the flesh, adversaries within, whatever it might be, could be without, don't let them frustrate your purpose this week. You seek to be faithful, be here as you are tonight. Thank you so much. And we're going to have a great week together. So, Brother Bowman, you come and preach God's Word. We're so thankful you're here. Let's welcome the Bowmans again. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Well, amen. Thank you. My heart's already been blessed already this evening. Thank you, ladies, for two beautiful, beautiful specials. This church has got some talent. Amen. And thank you for the young ladies and then the young ladies. And beautifully done. Thank you. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. It's my privilege to have been serving the Lord now for going on 34 years. What I want to do a little bit tonight is just to be a blessing to everyone in here. I don't know where you are in your journey spiritually. It is a little bit unique that we have three missionaries that, as Brother Scott said, did not just go through the Christian school process and then through Bible college, and now they're 22, 23, and are ready to go to the mission field. We have three families that were already established in careers, in good churches, and God tapped on their shoulder and says, I've got something a little bit more for you. I believe there are churches around America are filled with such people. But the problem is there's a little bit of a reserve, as Brother Scott very eloquently said. I think that would be great, and I'm willing to help to give and be able to help others to go, but God, I think that's enough for me. I don't know if I fit into that dynamic, or I don't know if I can truly trust to that point. Tonight I want to be able to dispel a little bit of that. I'm going to give you a few stories. Everybody likes stories. But my stories will have a very specific point. Not to entertain, although I'm sure it will a little bit. But I want to make a specific point that if God is working on your heart, you can trust Him. Church theme this year is, in Him will I? Oh, yes. And you know, God is completely trustworthy. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's all stand together. The text will be verse 14. Paul is admonishing young Timothy here. This is the last book Paul will write. Not too long after he pens this book, he's in heaven, trying to encourage his young man in the faith. He says, Timothy, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The context is, of course, Timothy was born of a mother that was a Jew, a father was a Gentile. He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Isn't it interesting that God sought to even put their names in Holy Scripture? Mothers, you're important. Grandmothers, you're important. You never know the child you're mentoring.
He says, now, Timothy, you've learned some very special things. And it's special because of those people that taught you these things. And because of that, I want you to continue on. To springboard off that, God has allowed me to learn some special things. Yes, from family. Yes, I have a godly grandmother. Yes, I have a very godly mother. But the things I want to share with you tonight were a little bit different. They're the things that I learned from the mission field. The things that I learned when I went there. And because of that, they're just a little bit more special. And because of that, I've got the courage to continue on. And I want to share that with you tonight. Lessons I've learned from the mission field. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would bless now this evening. Oh God, you have laid this sermon on my heart, although I plan to preach other. But Father, for some reason and for some purpose, your people need to hear this tonight, and I want to be able to give it now. I pray that you would expedite the stories. I pray, Father, I do not want to entertain. I need your Spirit now to prevail, to give the message. Father, I do pray for Spirit-filled ears, that they may be able to hear directly from your Spirit, and Holy Spirit, make application where necessary. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Often when some people surrender to do something for God, there's a little bit of a hesitation somewhat. Can God really be able to work through me? I don't know. As Brother Scott said, I'm just a Marine that went in to be an accountant. And I just don't know. Really, am I going to be a preacher? Does God want me to be a missionary? I'm going to learn a foreign language. Is that even possible? I can't even believe God would want me to do that. It's almost like the psalmist when he spoke and says, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God really do it? I don't know. Can he? In a place of waste, in a place where there's nothing, can God prepare a table? Let me tell you, God can. In the wilderness, God can provide. No matter where you are, God wants to meet you where you are, provide for the very needs that you've got, any inconsistencies or inadequacies that you feel that you've got, God has the answer for it. Oh, and He will help to blend that together, and He wants you to fulfill your purpose and His plan for your life. What a blessing. Many people question, when I take a step of faith, truly, will God take that step with me? Oh, yes. If God would send me to a particular area, can God provide? Can God protect? Can God really work? Listen to just a few out of many, many little stories. And may it give encouragement that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, God has one more step for you. None of us arrive spiritually until we're in heaven. He's got another step. What is that step for you? Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Really? Yes, He can. And I'm going to share you some stories that are a little bit special to me because of whom I have learned them. The first I would like to be able to emphasize is that God always provides. Always. Always provides. How many of you have been in the middle of nowhere?
Oh, hey, wow, that's interesting. Let me tell you, no one has been in the middle of nowhere till you've seen some of the places I've been in Africa. Literally, in the middle of absolute nowhere. There are no resources. There is nothing. But for some reason and somehow, there are a few people that eke out an existence in that area. And that's where the missionary goes. God sent me to a little village where we were establishing a small little Bible study. And I went out there to preach, and boy, it was a wonderful time. Our whole family came out with us, and boy, it was great. And we brought had an old Toyota Land Cruiser, big old one-ton truck, and boy, guys, it was awesome, all right? My wife called it her competition because I loved it very much. I fixed it up, and it was my love, because it was my Bushmobile. And it would go everywhere, and by God's grace, it always brought me back home. Amen. So we were out literally, and I'm telling you, it was in the middle of nowhere. We were working with nomadic tribes in the northern part of Kenya. I looked down at my vehicle after I got done preaching, had a good service, and I got done preaching, came out to the vehicle, and I had a flat tire. Oh, okay, well, no biggie. You have to realize where we were in the nomadic areas there up in the semi-desert area, everything has a thorn and everything has a sticker, and it's either everything out that area either wants to poke you, stab you, or bite you. You know, so I'm used to that. It's okay. So I had two big old spare tires on the back of the truck, and I had a tool bag in it and all kinds of stuff. So I simply got my high lift jack and jacked the thing up and got ready to be able to change. And I reached into my tool bag and my tool bag's gone. Okay, now this has never really happened. I am a very detailed, I'm a very prepared person, but my tool bag's gone. How do you change a tire off a one-ton truck with no lug nut wrench? Believe me, I tried to think of everything. My engineer mind was working through it, and I was trying to figure out what in the world and to do it. And one of the nomadic warriors came up to me, and, you know, we're preaching to nomads. You know, they have nothing. Just desert, semi-desert, living in a mud hut, thatch roof. They don't even use money in that area. It's just a barter trade. They have cattle, they have goats, sheep. The nomadic warrior came up to me. He's got a big 7-foot spear and a machete and everything. He comes up to me and says, "Missionary, you have a flat tire." "Thank you." He says, "Do you need help fixing it?" And I said, "Well, usually I would say sure, but I don't have my tool bag. I need a lug nut wrench." And he says, "Well, what is a lug nut wrench?" I'm like, "Oh, great. Okay. How in the world do you explain to a nomadic warrior who's really not had much experience in a vehicle or anything like that and try to explain a specific tool?" So I try to explain it a little bit to him and everything. And I didn't notice, but he had run off. And here I'm trying to think of some way I'm going to engineer getting this tire off. A few minutes later, he comes up to me with a piece of metal. It's a lug nut wrench. I looked at that thing, and I'm like, "What in the... Okay, where's my tool bag?" No, it wasn't mine. Nothing. He showed me a lug nut wrench. I'm like, "Where in the world did you get that?" And he says, "Oh, that's another story." Let me see that thing. And would you believe my faith was so small? I said, "You know what? God's going to provide me a lug nut wrench, but I bet it's going to be the wrong size." I was so frustrated, and sure enough, I hooked it up, and it was the exact perfect size for my truck. I said, How in the world? He says, "Missionary," he says, "you know, we don't get vehicles up here. So every time we hear a vehicle coming out the road, the whole village runs out to the road to see the vehicle. And this was this truck, and it just came by, and all of a sudden we heard, as it passed, we heard ding, ding, dong, dong.
and this piece of metal came out. He says, I just reached out and I picked up the metal and I said, what? That guy lost a piece of metal. And he started running after the truck to be able to let him know that he lost his piece of metal. Well, you have to realize a nomadic warrior that's carrying a 7-foot spear, you know, when they run, they have to lift up their spear like this or else they'll trip on it. So I'm just imagining this poor truck driver as he's driving through this nomadic area in the middle of nowhere, not knowing what or what's going on. And he sees this nomadic warrior coming after him with a 7-foot spear like this. Come, he ain't stopping. Whatever's gone is gone. Let it go. God provided. I've got so many stories I could be able to give you like that, but that's probably one of the funniest little stories of just a lug nut wrench. Absolutely in the middle of nowhere, hours and hours away from any form of civilization. No roads, no nothing. But God provided. God can provide for you. God also, you know, by the way, he may not provide in the way that you actually expect. Maybe it'll be something a little bit different. And it may be of a different way, but he'll provide. God also, my next point is that God also protects. Although sometimes there are injuries. Sometimes there are hardships. Sometimes it seems that maybe God allowed one of his servants to struggle somewhere. But in his own divine providence, he does protect. Many times God protected me. I mean, even one particular evidence that taught. It would be absolutely miraculous. It's even hard for me to describe it. But let me just tell you just one small thing that happened our very first term when we were on the mission field. We were staying in another missionary's home for just a short time as we were getting into language school. By the way, missionaries, you learn your language. Amen. There you go. As we were in language school, my wife, I would go to language school in the morning because we had children, and my wife would get tutored later on in the afternoon and so forth. And so I'm getting ready to go. And in the missionary home that we were staying in, of course, there's no air conditioning or anything. And it's in the hot season. So the one thing that was nice in that the home that we had, they had a sliding glass door, a novelty. Wow, a sliding glass door with screen. Oh, wow. Beautiful. So every morning, it was just kind of habit. I'd get the coffee going, and I would go by that screen door, and I would unlatch it, and I would slide back that sliding glass door, let the air throughout the house. One particular morning, I went through my normal ritual. How many are on a regular ritual? You got to, whether or not you realize it, you go through the same steps, and then you wake up at work, and you're like, how did I get here, you know? So I was going through my ritual that morning, and I unlocked the door, and I went to slide it back, and it wouldn't budge. It would not move. And Brother Jeff, I mean, I was a carpenter. I installed these things, all right? And I'm looking at what in the world? I'm trying to check everything, and I could not budge that door. I told my wife, I said, I'm sorry, fan yourself. I got to go to school, and I left. That day was rather inconveniencing, wasn't it? Yes, it was warm. My wife was there and small children, and then she was tutored later that day. And to be honest with you, we did not think of that door again until I was going through my ritual the next morning. Got the coffee going, went over, unlatched the door. And that morning, it just slid back just as easy as can be. And I realized, wait a second, yesterday this door wouldn't open. Okay, this is weird. All right. And I did that morning what I was unable to do the following morning. I stepped out of the door and I looked down and I was checking out the track to see if something would have stuck in that track there. And that's when I saw it. Underneath the step there was a freshly shed skin of a poisonous snake. God would not allow that door to open the day before. God protects. God provides. I don't know what next step God has for you, but I'm going to tell you, you can trust Him. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to fulfill His will that He has created you for. But it's many times we struggle with trust. Can you really provide? Yes, He can. In His special way. Can God protect? Oh, I get asked that all the time. Is Africa safe? You laugh. Yeah. I laugh too. Africa, really? No, it's not. It's Africa. It changes all the time. But we've had missionaries there for 65 years. Never had a problem. Has there been struggles? Yeah. Have there been challenges? Oh, you bet. Are there adversaries? Yes. But God always protects in His divine way. How? What? Where is the next step God has for you? Another thing that I've learned is that you're never too poor to give. I'll tell you what. Brother Brenton, I don't know if you experienced this much when you were in that region there. But as I've started churches and I've established churches and I've tried to bring preaching and so forth, it's very humbling when I go to a village and I preach the gospel and they want to do something for me. Thank you from coming to from America to come and give us God's word. Sometimes they'll give us a chicken. A little bit unique. Even small little goat. You know how humbling that is? A small little village that really doesn't have much. They want to do something like that. Huh. Most of our churches, the offering is a little bit unique. They give of their first fruits. Many in some of the nomadic areas, they don't have coinage money, or they do. It's there, but it's not used that much. That's what you just go to a specific market for or whatever. You go to a grocery store, but mostly it's a barter trade. Our offerings are unique. Sometimes it's a bag of grain. It's vegetables. Sometimes it's a chicken too. A little bit unique. You know, right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They tithe. They help to provide for their pastor. They give to missions. And we're talking people that have nothing. No. Not what you think of nothing. People that literally have nothing. But they give. I'll never forget one of our sweet elderly ladies. As I explained this morning, life expectancy is very low. So in our region, when we have an older person, that's very highly respected. We had a dear elderly lady in our church. She was affectionately named Shosho. Shosho is in the local dialect there. Of Kikuyu, that's the name for grandmother. She was the church's grandmother. And she took that very, very specifically. She was the church's grandmother, and she would walk circles around all the children, making sure that they behaved and all of that. And we loved Shosho. She had one of the sweetest smiles that she ever had. Only had just a few teeth. But one of the sweetest smiles she ever had. I'll never forget this early morning, Sunday morning, as I was walking to church. She met me outside the front door with a cloth in her hand. She says, "Oh, missionary, God has been so good to me this week. Oh, I just have to testify. God has blessed me and helped me so much." She says, "I brought something extra to put in the offering." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." She says, "This is for you. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for telling us about Jesus." She hands me and my wife this little cloth. I said, "Oh, Shosho, you don't have to do this." I knew where she lived. I knew how she lived. So I held that little cloth and I pulled it back. There were three small little chicken eggs. I said, "Oh, Shosho, God was very good to you." For her to be able to give something like that. You know what I thought? "Shosho, I can buy my own eggs. You need this more than me." But it's like she could read my mind. She says, "Don't refuse me. Thank you for bringing the gospel." And what a challenge that always has been. We think of all that God has given to us. We think, I've already given a lot. I've already given to a certain degree. And many times we'll come to a mission time and all of a sudden there's some people that get a little bit nervous and say, "Pastor's going to ask us for some more money and all of that. And I tell you what, I just won't come, you know, and or maybe the pressure will just be for a day or two and then it'll be gone." And let me tell you, it has nothing to do about money. It has everything to do about whether you are grateful that God allowed you to hear the gospel. I'm so glad I was born in America. I'm so glad that just a few months before I was born, my parents got saved. My dad enlisted during Vietnam. They never sent him over. They kept him in the States here in a military base. I'm so glad. Because that's when they got saved. Thank God for a church that cared for soldiers at that time. I was able to be born into a Christian family. Let me tell you, when my parents got saved, to use kind of a slang term, they really got it. And boy, they all of a sudden realized what they had been missing. They had been deeply religious people. They were religious, but lost. And when they got it, oh, they says, "Oh, what we have missed." And they wanted to raise their children for the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a blessing. Thank God I was born here. I grew up in church. I was able to hear the gospel over and over and over again as a boy until as a child I did receive the gospel. And thank God for Sunday school teachers. Thank God for Christian school teachers. Thank God for children's church workers. Help to teach me missionary stories and teach me about the Word of God. And as a small boy, I walked the aisle. I surrendered to be a missionary. I was an 8-year-old boy. God, I want you to use my life. I thank God for that. I've been given to faith promise ever since I was a boy. I'm never too poor to give. I teach in Africa. You've been the recipient of faith promise. You don't let the gospel stop with you. You let the gospel go through you to somebody else. Oh, my friend, may we realize all that God's given to us. One of the other things that He's taught me, and this is the last point I'll use. I've got several here. The last one here is, you don't need to know much to serve. Do you know that? Now, I never want to make light of theological training. If God provides that, do it. And I believe it's important if you're going to be in a pastor type of position. But you know, there's a lot of people in churches today that fail to serve God because I just need some training. I just don't want to serve God, or I don't know how to give out the gospel. I don't want to be able to do this because I just haven't been trained. You know, let me tell you, if you've got a salvation testimony, that's all you need. If God has done something in your soul and He's been in your life, that's all we need. Oh, let me tell you, as I've seen through our ministries there in Africa, where people are illiterate. They can't read at all. But they know they're a sinner. They hear about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit helps to interpret that in their soul and to make application in their life. And they respond to the gospel and they get saved. And oh, what a blessing it is to have them start telling others what God has done for them. And they can't even read. One of our young men, it's a whole other story, I won't get into it, but one of our most aggressive soul winners. Couldn't read at all, read or write. We had an adult literacy program and helped to teach him to read as well as others. And boy, he got all excited once he got ready to read and he could read the Word of God. And then you talk about a soul winner now. He would go around and say, hey, I got saved and the Bible tells us about it. And you know what? I can read it to you too. And he'd get out his Bible and he'd read the Word of God. Amen. I was humbled in this one church I went to preach for as pastored by one of our national men. Out and way out, one of those middle of nowhere type churches. I went there to preach. And as they were doing their morning services and singing, they loved to sing. Africans love to sing. They were singing. Right before they got to preach, the national pastor came up and says, okay, church, Bible memorization time. They all stood up. He turned to me and says, you know, preacher, most of these people don't know how to read or write. So I've had struggled in how to disciple them. He says, so we memorize scripture. He says, okay. He says, forgive me. It's going to take a few minutes. He goes, okay, church. And he started going through verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. I counted over 30 verses that they quoted that morning. And I'm the missionary. And I'm thinking, okay, I know that one. I know that. Oh, I don't know if I know that one. Oh, I was humbled. They knew the entire
Romans road to salvation. The entire church knew it by memory. They knew verses on how to have victory over sin. They knew verses on how to encourage them in the Word of God. I was humbled. I hear this as a young pastor that was just from our small little Bible institute and a congregation of illiterate people, but they knew over 30 verses by heart. And I'm thinking, what if we went back to America? I wonder how many people in our church could stand up and quote 30 verses. Wow! You know what? And you wonder why that church has already started another church and has already started another church. You don't have to know much to serve. All you have to have is a willing heart. God, do you need me? Use me. You know, we would have a different America if churches in America would do what they expect their missionaries to do. Some of you who are reading our missionary prayer letters, and by the way, you need to be reading all of them. Amen. That is the Wall Street Journal of Independent Baptist Fundamentalism. That's where we read the stock. Whoa, look at this. I've invested in this missionary. Look at the returns. Amen. Boy, that's exciting. And when you read those missionary letters, and you read perhaps about some people that are not winning people to Christ. Maybe you come to preacher and say, hey, I don't know if this missionary is doing the right stuff. We're supporting this guy. I want to make sure that this missionary is... Sometimes missionaries get dropped from support because churches in America don't think they're doing enough. Sometimes I want to ask those churches, well, what are y'all doing? How many souls have been saved? How much has the baptistry waters been stirred? Do you know churches in America need to start other churches too? We expect our missionaries to do it. But we got to start churches too. Amen? Amen? You don't have to know much to serve. God will take you just as you are. He'll save your soul. He'll cleanse you. He'll fill you with His Spirit. He'll give you at least one spiritual gift to coincide with the special talents you were born with. And He's got a plan for you. He's created you to do. The question is, do we trust Him? In Him will I trust. And it's been proven over and over again. He's trustworthy. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You now for the service tonight. A little bit of a different type of sermon, Father. Oh, I do pray that You would speak to our hearts. You've got another step for every one of us. No matter where we are in life, no matter what age we are, we may be a child that's still here, a young teenager. We may be a young person. We may be a young family. We may be a retired family. I don't know what it is, Father, but everyone's got another step. Question is, do we trust You to take it? Oh, Father, help us. You want to do more through us and through our church here. I pray, Father, You will empower us and equip us for Your service. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll quietly stand. Invitation is open and I want to challenge you, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in any form or fashion, I would like for you to respond.
If you're not able to come forward and kneel at an altar, I want you to use your seat there as a holy altar right there. You sit down right there and you start using it and you speak to your Father. If you can come forward, let's come forward too. Let's pray to God and ask God to use us as they begin to play.